The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you,
Lord. The shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the baby laying in the manger. And once they saw, they understood what had been told them concerning this child. All who heard of it were astonished at the report given them by the shepherds. Mary treasured all these things and reflected on them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen in accord with what had been told them. When the eighth day arrived for his circumcision, the name Jesus was given the child, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I started with a reference to the nativity set, so maybe I'll end with that. I mentioned the ladder at the beginning. When I was setting it up, I thought it might be fun this year to put the male energy on the right side and the feminine energy on the left side. So I actually thought about that. But you have Joseph the protector, and you have these very wealthy magi representing power. And then on the left side, I put more nurturing, more, it's the heart side. Mary and the sheep, or at least a couple of them, and the pottery I thought fit there, as does the shepherd in the sense of the shepherd caring for the sheep. Shepherd was could have gone either side, but it balanced it better. So, and the angel. So anyways, and this feast today invites us to reflect on the left side of the nativity, on Mary certainly, but also on the nurturing, the heart. The heart is mentioned in the gospel today. Jesus, or it says, Mary treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. And since the theme has been the beloved, I thought, well, this is definitely the place to head this morning with this idea of the heart. What does it really mean? St. Francis de Sales, in the introduction, in perhaps one of the richest passages, it's part 3, chapter 23. He says this, "For myself, Philothea, I cannot approve the methods of those who try to reform a man or woman by beginning with outward things, such as their bearing, dress, or hair. On the contrary, it seems to me that we ought to begin inside the person. Be converted to me with your whole heart." Joel 2:12. "My son, give me your heart." Proverbs 23:26. Since the heart is the source of our actions, as the heart is, so are they. When the divine spouse invites the soul, he says, "Put me as a seal on your heart, as a seal on your arm." Yes, for whoever has Jesus Christ in his heart will soon have him in all his outward ways. As our beloved Jesus lives in your heart, so too he will live in all your conduct, and he will be revealed by your eyes, mouth, hands, yes, even by the hair on your head. With St. Paul, you can say these holy words, "It is no longer I that live, but Christ in me." In short, whoever wins a man's heart has won the whole man. Mary, conceived without sin, had a bit of a head start in formation. Or at least an early start, perhaps we could say it that way. She didn't need the novitiate, or three formations, as some did, or none, whatever. But she, the Lord didn't have to work with her very, very much because she was so full of grace. And you know this from the very beginning because her response to the announcement that she would be pregnant with Christ wasn't one of worry. In other words, her heart wasn't on worldly things like what will this mean to my future marriage, Joseph will reject me, people will stone me. It was her yes. At this young age of maybe 14, they're not sure, she was already able to say yes. She was already living from her heart. Or perhaps we could say her heart was already set on doing God's will. And then when she goes and visits Elizabeth, she says, "My being proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." In other words, my heart. She's not living on any superficial level. She's in touch with who she really is. And it's from there that she realizes that that part of her, her whole being, her spirit, is praising God. And then when all of these things happen in today's gospel, and the shepherds say what they say to her, it says she treasured them and pondered them in her heart because she was a person who was connected with her heart. A person who's connected with their heart and lives out of their heart is the person who is ready to fully embrace the gospel and all that it means, as Mary did. It's no accident that one of the ways we visualize Mary and we honor Mary is through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So important. St. Francis de Sales says that our actions come from our heart. And if you win a man's heart, you've won the man. What does that tell us? Well, if our actions come from our heart, we look at our actions to see where our heart is. And so if our actions are actions of self-preservation or trying to be recognized or control our lives or whatever it is, that's where our actions will come out of. But if our heart is like Mary, if our heart is already connected to the Lord Jesus, then that's where our actions will flow from. So that it's no surprise that when at the crucifixion, Mary's heart is pierced. She doesn't despair. She mourns. She weeps. She laments, of course. But no despair. It's in the challenging times of our lives that we really get to see where our heart is. Sometimes in the day-to-day things, we just kind of shut down. We're not quite sure where it is because we're not that connected with our heart. And we just are functioning on automatic. That's one experience. Or it could be that, and so our actions come from that heart of being on automatic. Or we might be caught up with some real anger that comes from how we've been treated, or we feel betrayed, or we feel neglected or unappreciated. And then that's where our heart is when our actions come out of that. Or we could feel over-connection with our community or our country or our religion. All of a sudden, we're defending things just based on who knows what because we're trying to be such a part of this group. You know, my dad's better than your dad becomes whatever. So that's where our heart is. So our actions flow from our heart. Our actions are a window into where our heart is. And the tough situations of life can really wake us up to see where our heart is. When Mary is challenged with the real challenges of her life, even at the Annunciation and at the crucifixion, you can see where her heart is from her behavior. She embraces her dead son. And yet she doesn't despair. She awaits the resurrection. And she's present at the resurrection. She's gone nowhere. It's where her heart was. St. Francis' advice, I think, is good for all of us. I know sometimes the people think that to really be transformed, you really need to do a lot of external things. Those can be helpful. External things include how we dress and our schedules and our prayer and what we do on New Year's Eve. And it's all of these things, and those are very helpful. But they're not nearly as important as the heart. In fact, all those things really are not ends in themselves, but they're simply to help us to become like Mary and live out of a heart that is committed to God, that is in love with God, and is ready to embrace all that God gives us in every moment of our lives, good and bad. An abandoned heart, a willing heart, a loving heart. Once our hearts are there, living at that level of consciousness or that level of awareness or that level of spirituality, whatever you want to call it, then our actions will be good. And the little things that we say and do, my goodness, we might even surprise ourselves. They might actually be kind when we say something without thinking. And we'll go, my goodness, my heart is changing. Let's pray for the heart of Christ. Let's pray for the heart of Mary. Let's pray a conversion of heart. Let's love the Lord as deeply as we can love the Lord. May God be blessed.